Good morning on this Pentecost Sunday. Let us begin the celebration of the birth of the church by inviting the Holy Spirit, our advocate, to join us as we worship this day. Come, Holy Spirit, open our lives and inflame our hearts. Blow through our lives and bring us to new life, for we are here to renew our gratefulness for our life's gifts and sing for your love. We are here to worship you. And now the Trinity Trio would like to invite all of you to join us with hymn 469. Friends, let us stand as we are able and call on the one who invites us to speak the truth about ourselves and our relationships and who promises to show us mercy. Holy and merciful God, we know we do not pray as we ought, and we know too well our constant failures to do as you have commanded and to hold fast to your word. Forgive us for the divisions we nurture. Guide us to your way. Keep us in your care and lead us to faith. We trust your word that the Spirit of truth will show us all things and grant us courage and peace. Amen.
Please take a moment to confess your personal sin to the Lord in silence. God the Father, Christ the Son, and the flame of the Holy Spirit has heard your confessions, your self-assessment. And God's flame has come and touched each of your hearts, turned you around in the winds of the Spirit so that you might praise God with faces lifted upward. We praise God, trusting that God has forgiven us, for indeed that is true. Therefore, believing all this, I say unto you, may the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please share the peace through bows or waves with one another.
You may be seated. Living God, help us to hear your holy word that we may truly understand, that understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow in all faithfulness and obedience, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Old Testament reading today comes from Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. The Valley of the Dry Bones. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and you will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you. And you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves. O my people, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord."
Thank you both, ladies. That prayerful blessing has surrounded our hearts and reminds us that even in the hardest of times, God's Spirit is with us. And yet the Spirit of God, as we hear in the Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, did not arrive quite as peacefully as all that. Listen now to the amazing story as told by Luke and written in my Common English Bible version. What happened on the day that the Jews were celebrating the 50th day, the day of spring harvest? When Pentecost Day arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, a sound from heaven, like the howling of a fierce wind, filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. Now there were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their own native languages. They were surprised and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all the people who are speaking Galileans, every one of them? How then can each of us hear them speaking in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, as well as residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the regions of Libya bordering Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the mighty works of God in our own languages." They were all surprised and bewildered. Some asked each other, "What does this mean?" And others jeered at them, saying, "They're full of new wine." Peter stood with the other 11 apostles. He raised his voice and declared, "Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, know this. Listen carefully to my words. These people aren't drunk, as you suspect. After all, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Rather, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness, and the moon will be changed into blood before the great and spectacular day of the Lord comes. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of God for God's people. Thanks be to God. So, on summer Friday evenings, when I lived on the East Coast in Wilmington, Delaware, friends and I would head down to Rock Hall, Maryland, where two of us kept sailboats. For us, the weekend began when we heard the gentle clanking of the lines. They sounded delightful, like wind chimes. But when I lived on Lake Erie, the winds were different. They were often blustery, and because of the speed and direction of the breeze, waves crashed up on the shoreline and caused flooding. It's an interesting thing about wind. You can't see it. You can only feel or hear it as it whips through the branches of nearby trees, or you can see their effects on people and things that stood in their path. Boats are especially affected by the wind. Now, when my sister lived in Biloxi, Mississippi, we'd drive by an old shrimp boat there on the coast that had run aground during Hurricane Camille. Seeing a boat battered by winds like that makes you think twice before you head out onto open water. And yet this continent, America, would not have been settled had it not been for boats able to sail across mighty oceans. Have you ever noticed how the drawings of ships like the Mayflower all show square sails? Triangular sails are a pretty recent invention, people. Those persons had learned to harness winds, early on, that is, but the earliest of boats were hardly maneuverable. Moving forward could only happen when they were pushed from behind by the wind. So if the wind came from the wrong direction, boats would simply sit in the water for days or weeks until the wind turned in direction, the one that pointed them towards their destination. Slow sailing, that. It took centuries of discovery before people figured out how the physics of sailing the wind worked. And nowadays, sails are triangular in shape, kind of like an airplane wing. These triangles, when placed more or less at right angles to the breeze, cause the air to flow over the sail or around it. Right? Frank, am I right on that? You're a sailor. He's going, yeah, whatever. This effect causes the boat to lift, or the sail to lift up, and the ship moves forward in the wind. So the wind has to go at right angles, and then it flows over the sail, or maybe around it, okay? Of course, you still need a keel within the water to counter the force of the winds. And beyond that, I cannot explain the way sailing works because geometry is not my strong suit. All I know is that geometry works and sailing into the wind at right angles rather than fighting against it allows you to practically float through the air and makes sailing fun, doesn't it, Larry? Oh, yeah. He's having fun back there floating along. Now, as on most oceans, the fun of a trip on the Chesapeake depended on the winds of the season. Spring winds were pretty unpredictable and often were accompanied by rain. Crews really had to work hard to make headway. But oh boy, when you caught the breeze, whoosh. Summertime, though, well, I cannot count the number of days we sat becalmed in a windless sea, which was great for swimming, half the battle of going out in the summer, but sailing? so much. And in the fall, the northerly winds really kicked up, and that made for great adventure. Of course, if there was a hurricane about, you got off the water, cleared the decks, and found a safe place out of the wind. What's my point in all this? If you're going to sail the breeze, you need to remember a few things. You can harness the wind. You can work with it or around it. Without the wind, you will go nowhere. When the wind becomes crazy wild, steer clear of it, for there is no stopping it. And try though you might, the wind will do as the wind will do, and you cannot change it. So how do these truths relate to today's scripture readings? Well, between dry bones and spiritual flames, we have to wonder what God's message is for us. Those are our readings. So in Acts, we heard how a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where the disciples and company were sitting. And that wind filled them with the Holy Spirit. But in the words that Maggie read about Ezekiel, we heard a wondrous vision in which the prophet encountered God and God's breath, the wind, the Spirit of God, reinvigorating all those dry bones, bringing life where there was only death, new hope where there had been nothing but despair. In both stories, the wind cannot be changed. And in both stories, the wind showed no discrimination about whom it touched. All the bones in that dry valley were reassembled and had life breathed back into them again. Everyone who was gathered heard and understood. Then in Acts, as Peter speaks, he points to the ancient words of the prophet Joel, who dreamed of a time when God's Spirit would be poured out upon all flesh, men and women alike, on everyone within reach. They were all sharing the good news with those who scurried over to that house to see what all the ruckus was about. So in both readings, the wind of the Spirit touched everybody. Come to think about it, I guess it really even touched the visitors to the house in a way, didn't it? Everyone was enlivened. Everyone was inflamed. There's something else that draws these two readings together, though. They are written in different languages, and yet the words their authors chose to communicate God's spirited actions share very similar meanings. The words these authors chose to describe the Spirit meant kind of the same thing. Ezekiel's writer uses one word, one Hebrew word, for both spirit and breath. Okay, those two words were read in English by Maggie, and yet the Hebrew writer used just one word, not spirit and breath, just one word, ruach. Ruach. If you say it right, it blows wind. The word alone conjures up the sound of the wind, blowing and swirling and enlivening those dry bones until they were dancing their way out of the grave. remember, when the wind becomes crazy wild, there's no stopping it. Now in Acts, the author uses the Greek word pneuma. And are there any guesses how that word has evolved into English? I would think you nursing kind of folks might understand it, pneuma. What's a pneumologist. Is it pneumology? Cardiology? Pneumology? Is that right? Pulmonology. Whoops. Comes from pneuma, though. Comes from pneuma. Pneumatics. Yeah, it's how the air is inspired, and expired. It's breathing. It's wind. And for Acts, it's the Spirit. So we may say God's Spirit was poured out upon these servants, but in reality, the Spirit was poured into, breathed into them, okay? And in fact, in Ezekiel, God's Spirit takes the prophet to a desert valley and commands him to tell old dry bones to stand up so the Lord God can put God's own breath back into them, bring them back to life. You may have noticed that that command was repeated 5 times. You know, when somebody says the same thing over and over and over again, they must really want whatever it is to happen. God had made up God's mind and was breathing life into those God chose. And in a crazy way, God had also chosen to breathe new life into the believers on Pentecost Day. God blew so violently, the disciples were thought to be crazy drunk with new wine. Whew. And there was nothing that they could do to change that reality. God's breath flowed over, under, and around and through these people. God's breath caused them to be lifted up and drawn forward like a sailboat into a closer relationship with God. If you read Acts, you might think the Spirit was exploding around the people like a hurricane might. God is truly a power beyond our imaginations. Still, even with such velocity, beyond the immediate and spontaneous proclamations that these believers expressed in all those different languages, we do not really know what happened to them or anyone in that story thereafter. Like all of us, they had life choices to make. They could harness themselves to the wind of the Spirit, which obviously can get pretty wild. Or they could do nothing, which could be pretty dangerous when the Spirit is wild. Or they could work with it and through it. There was really no other choice than that last one, because without the Holy Wind, faith is like sitting on the deck in the middle of the Chesapeake Bay in July. It's like sitting on an ancient boat with a square sail and the wind going in the wrong direction. And try though they might, God's Spirit was going to do as God's Spirit would do. The people who were being touched could not change God's will. So don't you suppose some of them lived into that amazing experience of sailing into the Spirit's wind and felt the exuberant joy their Lord promised? Yeah? Friends, God is full of surprises, great big wins. Even now, These stories are not just ancient memories. They point us towards living into our calling as followers of Christ. We are Jesus's 21st century body, his church with a capital C, and the breath of the Holy Spirit wants to blow down on us and into us and through us too. And in so doing, it will lift us up and draw us into a closer relationship with Christ. As his body, we, all of us, can sail with the Spirit's wind through an endless cycle of seasons. Spring, fall, summer, winter, and throughout our lives as Christ's body, we will come across those springs when things are so unpredictable, kind of like the last year, and becalmed summers, again, like the last year, in which we were able to rest and renew before facing whatever comes next. Sometimes being becalmed is a blessing, I guess. Yet by working with the Ruach of God, we will be enlivened and encouraged to express God's love to all sorts of people in all kinds of places. Our sails will be filled with the wind of the Holy Spirit, and the breath of God will support and sustain us. And each season, we will find God's blessings. Each and every season. Thanks be to God for the Ruach of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand as you are able as we state our faith. We trust in God, the Holy Spirit, everywhere the giver and renewer of life. The Spirit justifies us by grace through faith, sets us free to accept ourselves and to love God and neighbor, and binds us together with all believers in the one body of Christ, the Church. The same Spirit who inspired the prophets and apostles rules our faith and life in Christ through Scripture, engages us through the word proclaimed, claims us in the waters of baptism, feeds us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation, and calls women and men to all ministries of the Church. In a broken and fearful world, the Spirit gives us courage to pray without ceasing, to witness among all peoples to Christ as Lord and Savior, to unmask idolatries in church and culture, to hear the voices of peoples long silenced, and to work with others for justice, freedom, and peace.
Oh.
your Son first taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Disciples, and apparently there were 120 of them gathered in that particular house, men and women both, and all of them were inspired to prophesy, to speak about the good news of Jesus Christ to anyone who would hear in their own language, not the Galilean language, but their language, Cappadocian, you name it. That spirit, that wind, still is blowing. And even now, you are being inspired to expire, to express the good news. You will discern ways to do that each and every day. So go forth and do. Share the breath of life. The Holy Spirit's goodness, fire, and energy inflame other people's hearts. And go, knowing that you never go alone. That the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Ruach of the Holy Spirit that blows you together and sends you out, goes with you.